Blog Talk Radio.
Better get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord
is doing
what
you're
gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the Lord.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
No mistake, God. We're asking you, God, to just pray for them and
put your arm around them, God, and let them know that they're not alone, but there you are walking every step of the way, right there beside them. Father God, we'd be so mindful to give your name the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm just going to allow just a roulette of selections to play during my live recordings on tonight, because I will be with you just 30 minutes on the clock. I'm going to try to bring the word and entertain you all in the same time. So we are going to go into our live program. Hallelujah. And I have put, I think, the sermon on the message boards for tonight. And our sermon on tonight entitled Living Large. And our key scripture is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 6:11. And it reads like this. It says, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Hallelujah. And we're talking again on tonight about living large, and that includes love. And we're told, hallelujah, that God wants us to love. We're just really hitting home about love, because, you know, that is so needed in this era in which we live. We need people that can show love and brotherly and sisterly love in harmony and in line with God's word. Hallelujah. And we know that people who lack feelings for others, hallelujah, are like cold fronts on the weather map in winter. You'd rather see them gone than coming. And that was an example of a homeowner who treated his paper boy real malleable. And he said that he acts as if the youngster was behind the bad news that landed on his porch day after day. He said, I'm not saying that sometimes there is a cause for frustration. There may be legitimate reason for dissatisfaction with his service, but being unkind to those who are weaker in a lower social economic position is never right. And God made this very clear in ancient Israel when he told them to treat those of lesser social rank as they themselves were going to be treated. And he reminded his chosen people that because they had once been strangers in a foreign land. And you know, you that are out there in my digital live podcast on tonight, we're strangers in this bad land. We're just travelers coming through this old bad land. Because know that this world is not our home. This is just a temporary setting. This is a temporary holdover. Because we have lying in wait a heavenly home that not built by the hand of man. Hallelujah. But its builder is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So we know that we're just strangers in this hard land. Jesus told us. They should know how it feels to work under those who show no sympathy and no empathy. Hallelujah. That's found in the law of Exodus 22 and 21. And we know that Christians have the same responsibility to the poor and the downtrodden as Israel had. We may argue that if we don't look out for ourselves, no one else will. But God has told us to love our neighbor. He also reminded us that if we forget what it is like to be on the bottom, we are no longer fit to be on the top. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And if you once bore a heavy load that drove you to despair, you'll have a heart for those who bend beneath their load of care. We know that when Jesus changes your heart and my heart, he gives you and I a heart for others. Hallelujah. And we're talking about living large. Not only just in prosperity, but we're talking about in sisterly and brotherly love. Hallelujah. And we know that there was a story that told about a Boating Magazine report that Serenity Time Out and Serendipity and Real Time are some of the most popular names for boats. And they said that not long ago, individual, he saw the name Living Large on a boat in a Grand Haven, Michigan marina. And he said that he wasn't sure what it meant to the boat owner, but to many people, living large means to own the best possessions, to take the most exotic vacations, and to buy whatever you want, hallelujah, without even looking at the price tag, to live life extravagantly. We know that that kind of life, however, doesn't bring true purpose or satisfaction. We are told that followers of Jesus Christ are to large in a different way, as seen in the example of the Apostle Paul and of his co-worker Timothy. Paul told the Corinthians, he said that our heart is wide open. That's from the middle of 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. We are told that the King James Version puts it like this: our heart is enlarged. They had given their wholehearted affection to people, just as a father does to his children. As he wrapped them in his arms, now they wanted the same response. So Paul requested, now in turn, for the same you also be open. That's verse 13. And we know that, hallelujah, Jesus, a large-hearted person shows his affection with his words and actions freely and generously. We know that as believers, we are to just live large today and freely. And I'm talking about, hallelujah, loving one another in words and in deeds. And we can welcome and embrace each other in love. We know that love through me is love of God. And we know that there is no love in me. Oh, fire of love, light though the love that burns perpetually. And we know that people do not truly love who do not show their love. Hallelujah. And our sermon again on tonight is Living Large. And we've taken our key scripture out of the law of 2 Corinthians 6 and 11. And I know you might know of someone or read of someone that has all the riches that the world can afford and yet not happy. And yet, you know, it's just, you know, you, some may call them stingy. They won't give you anything, you know. Yet they will go on and, you know, talk about the cruise that they've taken with their wives and their friends and their coworkers. They'll talk about that estate that they have laid back. They just purchased that summer home, but they won't give any tithe to God. They'll talk about all the stocks in their portfolio, but they won't give the man that's standing out with a sign that says, I'm hungry, can you help me? You know, those type of people will, you know, they, I feel like they will really reap what they sow, what the Bible tells us, that what you reap, you will sow. So if you reap fairly, your end result will be sparingly to gain. You will gain sparingly as well as you reap sparingly. And so, like I said, that God blesses us not just to keep all of our wealth and our good fortune to ourselves, but God blesses us to be able to have so we can bless and give back to the community. Give back to mankind. Give in the offering pool. Give your time. And just be a cheerful giver, because God said in his word that he blesses a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. God blesses a cheerful giver. So whatever God has blessed you to acquire in this life, one thing about it, Jesus said in his word that we come here with nothing. We come here naked. And we were just broke. We didn't have anything. But as I first stated in a sermon I had given some time ago, but we want to claim everything. We want to put our state our claim on everything. This is mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. But God tell us that we come in this world with nothing. And as surely as we come in this world with nothing, I'm here to encourage your heart on tonight that we'll leave it out that same way. Doesn't matter how much money that you have, how many million stacks that you have stacked up, how many billions that you have stacked up in your vault, in your safe deposit box. When you leave this planet Earth, you're going to leave all the money behind. There's never been a U-Haul backed up to a cemetery to unload your wealth until the burial plot. You will die just as you come in here. You might be clothed when you leave here, but after a while, that even those clothing would disintegrate off of you, and you will go back into dust. The Bible says, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. In dust we came, and in dust we shall return. So I'm encouraging you tonight, you and those of you that are living large, share your wealth with the unfortunate, disadvantaged. Share your wealth, and God will bless you. And I know that my time is running on out. So I got one more little script that I want to read before the close of the program. And we know that, unfortunately, we are told that the concept of stewardship is narrowly used and viewed, more than not. We relegate stewardship to monetary concerns. We know that stewardship, however, is not simply about money. Not just a way of giving. We know that stewardship is a way of living. Stewardship is about life economics. We are stewards. We are managers. And we are responsible for the wise use of all of our resources. And as you read the prayer of David, as he prepared the people to build the temple, we see why we are only managers. David helped us to understand that being a steward means that all that we have comes from God and belongs to God. That's found in the law of 1 Chronicles 29 and 11 through 12. And like I first stated, whatever riches we may enjoy, whether it's money, whether it be love, whether it be security, enjoyment, or knowledge, all of it is simply on loan to us from God. What an awesome statement coming from David the King, a man who had it all, and he recognized that what he had was because of God, and he gratefully gave it back to the Lord. And I want to encourage you, and you that are out there in my digital live listening podcast on tonight, as African Americans, as Americans, whether you're African or not, you know that God has richly blessed us. And we know that our lives here may not be perfect from our perspective. But we must look at the blessings we have from God. We have moved from poverty to owning banks, from illiteracy to funding education institutions, from slave quarters to home ownership. We know that everything is divinely provided. It is incumbent on us then to practice properly stewardship like David. We should give back to God out of thanksgiving for what he has given us, recognizing that it all belongs to him. This involves more than our tithes and offerings, but it compasses every area of life in which we have experienced God's blessing in our homes, on our jobs, in our places of worship, and in our living. We praise God for it all, not simply by telling him thank you, but by using it for his purpose. Hallelujah. And before ending, I hope and I pray, hallelujah, that I've said something to demagnetize your mind and impact your spirit, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing to your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in your impound your behalf, you are most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Rock Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address, janiceallaboutgod@yahoo.com. We will allow the following selections to bring our program to its closure. Till we meet again across these highways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now.
Thank you.